So we're starting with the mission of the Kamad of the Testament days. The Mishnah says, I'm learning because I said that, you know, we're going over Muhammad, and the Ramban speaks about Cholish. That Cholish is certainly not considered grammar, that's considered Maisvi Adayim. He says that when a person is Cholish with a Behema, so the Behema is considered to be like a Kli B'yaro Uman, it's an extension of his hand. So therefore it's considered to be his Koyach, even though in the Tzias it's the Koyach of the Shor. This one, as I said, we'll broaden the discussion, we'll discuss what's considered to be. The topic really is a topic of Koyach Achem Uravoy. When is Koyach Achem Uravoy considered to be his Maisa? And when is it not? You know, he somehow activates a Koyach Achem. So it's Koyach Achem Uravoy. When is the Koyach Achem Uravoy considered to be his Maisa? When is the Koyach Achem Uravoy integrated into his Koyach, integrated into his Maisa? And when do we say no, that it's just scrummy, he's not doing it. He's just activating something that will do it, but he's not the one that's doing it. So that's the discussion. Ramban makes it very clearly that on Shabbos, if someone's chorish with the shore, he says since the shore has no choice because he's holding the yoke over the shore, and the shore has no choice but to move and to plow, so that's certainly considered to be his maisa. But the discussion is very complicated. So starting with the mission of the Talmud of the Testament days, the mission says, Echad hevi es ha'or ve'echad hevi es ha'itzim. And then a wind came, and the second one is the one that caused the fire. Hamevis Eitzim Chayev. Echad Hevis Eitzim Echad. I'm sorry, correct. Echad Hevis Eitzim Echad Hevis Or. Hamevis Or Chayev, because he's the one that made the ish. Ba Achev Liba Hamala B'Chayev. But if someone came and blew the fire and caused the fire to take a hold of the wood, so then the Malab is Chayev, because he's the one that created the fire. He's the one that created the Ish. He created the Mazik. These are all halachas in the Mazik of Ish. It's a Mazik of Ish. So the question is, who's the one who's responsible for the Mazik of Ish? If one brings the fire and the other one brings the Eitzim and the other one brings the wood, see, he's responsible for to make the fire. If someone brings the fire, the Eitzim, then another one brings the ore, the fire. So he's the one that created the fire. As a maybe it's or chayev. Ba'ach of a liba, hamala b'chayev. So the one that blew is chayev. Libsa ruach kulam p'turim. But if the ruach came and made the fire, the conflagration, so then they're all pater. Then they're all pater. So this is the question. This is the question. There's a Tosfos about it. That's the Tosfos I put down. The Nun Testament days, Libsa Ruach Kulam Pturim. The Ri says it's talking about a Ruach Mitzuya. This is important. This Nekuda is important that Tosfos discusses. In other words, if someone brings, let's say one person would bring a fire and also wood. But he didn't connect them. And then the wind came and made a great flame. And the wind came and made a great flame. And let's say it's a Ruach Mitzuya. So who is Chayev? So the pin that what Tosis finally concludes in saying is that the person who brought the wood in the fire, he would be responsible. If one brought the wood, one brought the fire. So the last one is the one that would be responsible. Why? But he didn't create the fire, the wind created the fire. But since it's a Ruach Mitzuya, so he was responsible to see, to watch, that a fire should not be created. The Tachiyah of Shmira of Mazik, the Tachiyah of Shmira of Mazik is mentioned in the Pasuk of Mishpatim, for Lo Yishmirenu. It's not a moral Chiyah of Shmira, in the sense of a person not supposed to do something that can endanger other people. It's a legal obligation of Shmira, for Lo Yishmirenu Balav. Tachiyah of Shmira of Parshas Mishpatim. So what this long Tosis does is the long Tosis basically explains that if it is a Ruach Mitzuya, he is responsible to watch that a great flame should not be created for what he did. And since he didn't watch it, it's Libsa Ruach, and he didn't watch it, Libsa Ruach, so then there would be Chayav. So why over here is a Pturim? So Tosis says that when it says Libsa Ruach, it refers to the case where it was Libav and Libsa Ruach together. and there was one person blew on it, and what does the Mishnah say? Ba'achav liv alam mechayev. Lips are ruach doesn't mean that it was exclusively the ruach. It was the ruach together with the malava. And neither one by themselves could have done it. And this is the discussion of the Gemara. And this is really what to focus on. It's not a simple din. It's not a simple din. Because there's another tosis about it. In other words, because, you know, there's a shah, maybe later on we'll go through the tosis inside that, and test maybe it's not this year. But the principle that tosis develops is that even though he didn't create the fire, he brought only the wood and a flame. And a flame. But since he knows that a Ruach Mitzvah can come and create a great flame out of it, see, he's Mechuyev in Shmir. He was Mechuyev to watch it. And if he didn't watch it, so he's responsible, and he's Chayev to pay. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says, Lips Ruach Kulim Turim? So Tosfos says it refers to the case of the Braisa. And this din is a din refers to the Braisa. It's not a Chiddush of Tosfos. That the Braisa says, Libav Lips Ruach, that if Ein Belibuyoy Kedei L'Labosa, so he's Pater. And that isn't a simple din. Besides the discussion of Gemara, has a whole discussion about it. But besides the discussion of Gemara, of comparing it to Zoyev Ruach Misayayitai, it's not a simple din. In other words, there's a flame, or for that matter, you don't have to talk about a flame, you could talk about a coal too, a gacheles. And he blows on the gacheles, he blows on the coal. And he himself, the blowing that he did on the coal was not strong enough to produce a flame. And there's also ruach that blows on the gacheles. And the ruach that blows on the gacheles is also not strong enough to create a flame. But the combined effort of the two of them together is enough to create a flame. So the halacha is that everyone is pater, no one is chayev. The question is, why should it be that way? Why should it be that way? This is what the Tosfos and the Samach Hamad Aleph discusses. Because the chayra, one should say, let's talk about the person who brought the fire and the wood. The person who brought the fire and the wood, or the person who brought the gachelos, the person left the gachelos there, why is he not responsible? The answer is, when is he responsible? He is responsible if the Ruach Mitzuya can create, if the Ruach Mitzuya can create a flame, can create a fire. But here the Ruach Mitzuya was not able to create a fire. The fire was created through the joint effort of the person that blew on it together with the wind. So the person that brought the Or and the Eitzim, or the person that brought the Gacheles, he's not responsible because he's not expected to anticipate that a person is going to come and blow together with a Ruach Mitzuya. The Ruach Mitzuya apparently couldn't create a flame. It couldn't create a flame. And it didn't create a flame. It created only together with the person that blew on the flame. Yeah. But in Mazik, he's a poshe. If he has a chiv shmir, he's a chiv shmir. So
what about the seed of the shmir? Is that?
Yeah,
there's a chiv. What about the chiv? I mean, the group of people each person does, as the Mishnah says here, a piece of the work. It's the ptur?
No, wait, one second. Together they blew on it?
No. One person brought the wood. And one person brought the gachelet.
No, so the wood and a gachelet, or a flame, or whatever it is. And
it wasn't enough without the wind.
There wasn't enough without the wind, but Ruach Mitzuya. So then the last one, the Achron Chayav, the Achron is Chayav. That could also be the case in Mishra. So Echad Vita Isaac, it could mean that the wind came and blew it. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be in that case, but it also finds that case because they're responsible to anticipate that the wind will come and create a flame. But in this case, the Ruach Mitzuya could not create a flame. There's only combination with his blowing that a flame was created. So the person that brought the gachlis, or the person that brought the eitzim and the or, or whatever it is, the or could be a gachlis, could be a coal. So he's not responsible because he's not supposed to anticipate that someone's going to come and blow on it together with the Ruach Mitzuya. And the Ruach Mitzuya wasn't capable of creating a fire. But the question is, why is the person who blew on it together with the flame, why is he not responsible? Why is he not responsible? Because the chur, you can say, why doesn't he have a chiv shmir to realize that if he's blowing on the gachlis, on the coal, and he sees there's a ruach doing it together with him, see, he's expected to understand that together with the gachlis, that the fire is going to be created. This is the problem. Tosis addresses the problem, but it's not clear what Tosis is saying. You see that Tosis left. I have Tosis left. Samach amid aleph. Liba v'lipsa ruach. Im yesh v'libuy k'dei labas chayev. Im la pater. V'she'en v'ruach v'fnei atzvay k'dei l'labas mayri. There isn't enough strength in the wind by itself to create a flame. V'i v'she'yesh bo k'dei l'labas. Afilu k'she'yesh v'libuy hamalabe k'dei l'labas. Lam yischayev. V'lav iu nam ahiyo lechumazik. The Mishnah says that by his blowing alone, it can create a flame, so then he's responsible. So Tosfos says it's talking about where the Ruach by itself could not create a flame. Because if the Ruach by itself could create a flame, so why does the Mishnah say that if he himself is capable of creating a flame, then he would be Chayev? Tosfos says, even if he himself, through his blowing, could have created the flame, but if the Ruach also could have created the flame, so then he's not responsible. Because he's not responsible for the Eish. The Eish would have been created anyway. The Eish wouldn't be created through the Ruach Mitzuyah. So he's not responsible. So obviously the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Ruach Mitzuyah is not strong enough to create a flame. Therefore, if his blowing was strong enough to create a flame, in that case it would be Chayav. This is Alavadi kishein baruch kedei lelabas mayri, ulechach kishiyesh b'libuye kedei lelabas chayiv hamelabe, kihil asa hakol, dahavale kemo ze yochol vze me yochol, dechashiv eino yochol misayeya she'ein bay mamish, beperek hamatznia. This line of Tosfos is difficult.
Each by itself, neither the Ruach Mitzuyah, nor the man who's going on it, by itself.
Neither one is held. Then spot. No, if neither one was held by himself, then the Bais says it's potter. Mm-hmm. The Bais says it's potter.
So everybody.
Yeah. What? Everyone is potter. But if he.
So that's analogous when you have two people doing a lot of shots, each of them by himself is not
sufficient. Yeah, Tosfos is comparing the two. He's comparing the Shabbos. But I'm saying that there's room to question the comparison. Why? Because it's not the same thing with Shabbos. In Shabbos, what's important to know is who does the melacha. Mm-hmm. Who does the melacha? And there's halacha, shnayim shasua is pater. But in mazik, we really want to know who's responsible for the damage. Mm-hmm. And as Tosfos says, you know, if his blowing is strong enough to create a flame, and the wind is not strong enough to create a flame, then he would be chayav. Yeah. Why? Because the Gemara says, if two people in Lachan, one is strong enough to do Lachan, let's say one person is writing with a pen on Shabbos, and the other person is holding the pen. He's assisting him, but he's not exerting enough strength to do the writing himself. So when the person does the writing, is Chayav. In other words, why? So in other words, the Messiah doesn't negate his action. So that's Sayach in Shabbos, because in Shabbos you need that Halacha, because in Shabbos, there's Halach Shnayim Shasu Aptur. If two people do a Maisa, So the pater. There's halach shnayim shasu pturim. So we want to know. In other words, there's one Ma'amar that says that what's the halacha? Let's see. I think there's a machlokes if two people do the melacha and each one is capable, each one is exerting enough strength to do the melacha himself. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara as to whether chayiv or not. As to whether chayiv or not. But let's say in mazik over here, that Tosfos says he's definitely not chayiv. In Shabbos, it's a machlokes. There's one man that says Zechel is Pater, and the one man that says that the Chayav. So we pass him this Pater because that's considered Shnayim Shasua. But in Mazik, it's definitely not Chayav. If there's enough strength in his blowing to create the flame, what is the problem? If there's enough strength. I'm sorry, Jesus.
Well, what if there isn't enough strength? You need the two, the wind and him together.
No, so that's that the Gemara says. That the Brisa says. Beferish. That the Brisa says. Beferish. That's Pater. That's Brisa. That's Pater. But we're trying to understand the din. So we're learning the Tosfos. Like I said, we don't need the heat today for. So Tosfos first discusses the din. Let's say where he is able to create a flame, his blowing is strong enough to create a flame, but the wind is not strong enough to create a flame. So he says that's the din of the Bais. Then he is chayev. Tosfos, why is he chayev? Tosfos compares it to Shabbos. Because it's Shabbos, it's Zei Yochel, Zei Neyochel. One person is doing the writing with his hand, and the other one's holding on to the pen, he's assisting him, but he's not exerting enough strength to actually write. So the halacha is not considered Shneim Sasua. But really, Tosfos doesn't need that comparison, because there is a special halacha of Shneim Sasua Pturim, that one Maisa negates the other person's Maisa, that he shouldn't, that it's not considered to be his Maisa. But in Mazik, it's a different criterion. In Mazik, we want to know who's responsible for the fire, who's responsible for the Mazik. So in that case, even if in Shabbos, that's what I'm saying, even in Shabbos, you wouldn't say Maseh Mamash, you would say that it negates his Maisa, but it wouldn't be relevant to Mazik. In Mazik, we would say, the wind isn't capable of doing it. He's capable of doing it, and he did it. See, he's the one that's responsible for the Mazik, he's the one that's responsible for the Nezik, so he's Chayav. It has nothing to do with the din in Shabbos. Tosfos doesn't have to have recourse to the halacha of Mesayeh in B'mamash. Mesayeh in B'mamash has to be Shabbos, because Shabbos, there's halacha Shneim Sha'usu'ah. There are two people doing Maisa, so one Maisa negates the other person's Maisa, and he cannot be Chayav. But that's not the criterion in Mazik. In Mazik, we want to know who's responsible for the Nezik. Who is responsible for the Nezik? So if his blowing is strong enough to create a fire, and the Ruach, the wind, is not strong enough to create a fire, so we say, obviously, he's responsible for the Mazik, he's responsible for the Ish, he's responsible for the Mazik. So of course, then he's Chayav. No, the din of the Maisa is a simple din. One doesn't have to have recourse to the halacha of Messiah in Bamamish. The Rai would be, from the case that Tosfos himself mentioned, what if the Ruach Mitzvah could also create a flame? He could create a flame, and the Ruach Mitzvah could create a flame. Then Tosfos says, then the Maisa wouldn't be Shayach. Then we would say that he's not Chayav. Why is he not Chayav? So it's not because it's like a did shtayim shasu'ua in Shabbos. There's one bandama that says in Shabbos, Zayachol is chayav. Because that's in Shabbos. In Shabbos, we want to know who's considered to be doing a ma'isa malacha. Here, it's not. We don't just ask who's considered a ma'isa malacha. We want to know whose ma'isa is responsible for creating the nezek. So we say, in this case, since the ruach could have created the nezek anyway, so he's not considered responsible for nezek. What if, let's say, two people blow on it, and each one is capable of creating the fire. Each one is capable of creating the fire. So then I would say that they're both responsible in Nezik, and they're both Chayav. They're both Chayav. And the wind, it's different, because you can in the wind, you can say the wind is responsible for the flame, because the wind was strong enough to create a flame. So therefore, he's not responsibility. It absolves him of responsibility. It has nothing to do with it in Shabbos. In Shabbos, maybe Zayachol would be Chayav. There is a man that says Zayachol is Chayav. That when is a potter only when it's zeinu yochel zeinu yochel, then it's potter. We don't pass now. We pass even zeyachol zeyachol is chayav. But even if you would say zeyachol is chayav, but in mazik it wouldn't be chayav. In mazik it's a different question. It's a different issue. It's a different criterion. The question is, is he responsible for the nezek? He's not responsible for the nezek. So who is responsible for the nezek? Why do we say that he's not responsible for the nezek? The rule is responsible for the nezek. Why don't we say it the other way? The answer is because the ruach is not a person. He's not a person. You can't bring the ruach to a din Torah that he should pay. So we say that the person is not responsible for the nezek. If let's say a hill blow and someone else will blow, and each one was capable of creating the ish at the same time, so I would say they're both responsible for nezek. So they're both chayav. And the same thing would be also. Tosfos discusses later on, but it's a tema. Tosfos says in the Gemara Bava Kama. If it's Zayn Yochel, Zayn Yochel, Zayn Yochel, Zayn Yochel, but they're blowing together. So put them together, responsible, and it has nothing to do with it in Shabbos. Zayn Yochel, Zayn Yochel, and Shabbos. It is Potter, Shnaim Shazor. But it has nothing to do with it in Mazik. In Mazik, we'd say Zayn Yochel, Zayn Yochel. The two of them created the fire together. Two of them created the fire. They're responsible for the Mazik, so they have to pay. So that's why it's a pillar. The Tosfos mentions here the din, Messiah in Bamamish. The Tosfos doesn't need to mention the din of Messiah in Bamamish. So Tosfos says, "B'she'ein baruch if ne'atzva kadei l'labas mary the e b'she'yesh bo kadei l'labas afilu k'she'yesh b'libi hamalabe." I'm sorry to Tosfos again. "B'she'ein baruch if ne'atzva kadei l'labas mary the e b'she'yesh bo kadei l'labas if the ruach mitzuya had enough strength to create a fire afilu k'she'yesh b'libi hamalabe kadei l'labas lami yischayev." The belav you nami lech mazik, and see here Tosfos doesn't mention the halach and Shabbos. It has nothing to do with halach and Shabbos. He's not responsible for the fire. The ruach is responsible for the fire. Elavada kishein beruach kedei lelabas mari. The ruach mitzuyah cannot create the fire. L'chach kishyesh libuya kedei lelabas chayiv hamalabe kihu asakol the havalei kamozei yochol v'zeni yochol the chashav v'ni yochol misayesh ein mamamish perik hamatzniyah. So that's difficult. Then Tarsus says ve'im ein belibuya kedei lelabas afal pishe gam beruach ein kedei lelabas potur. So lo machayiv mishum ishoi elem kein asa kol kach v'fnei atzmai v'losi yoruach. So here Tosis is really raising the problem, and it's not easy to understand. I myself don't fully understand this din. In other words, the question is, if both of the person blew on the kachalas on the coal, and there was a ruach that blew on it. Neither one is capable by itself of creating a flame. The two of them together created a flame. So the halacha is the pater. Why? Because he says he's not responsible for Nizek. But what if he didn't blow on the fire? He just brought the gachelos in the wood. So then a ruach came and created a flame. Then he is responsible. Why is he responsible? But he didn't create the flame. Because he didn't do the shmirah. But here, the person who brought the gachelos and the wood is not responsible. Why? Because what is the shmirah? Shmirah is... he's supposed to anticipate a ruach mitzvah can come and create a flame, but he had ruach mitzvah wasn't capable of creating a flame, so he fulfilled this chiyush shmirah. So we forget about the person that brought the coal in the wood. We're interested now in the people that are blowing on it, the person that's blowing it and the wind is blowing on it. So Tosfos says in that case we say that since each one by itself is not capable of creating the flame, the important thing is that the person himself through his blowing was not capable of creating a flame, so therefore he's not chayav. But it's not easy to understand, because the question is, why shouldn't he be responsible? Why don't we say, as far as Mazik is concerned, you can phrase the question this way. There are really two ways of asking the question. It's really two separate questions. You could say, sof kasof, he is responsible for creating a fire. He's responsible for creating the fire. He knew the wind was coming. He knew there's a wind blowing, and he knew by his blowing on the gachlis that he would create a fire, so he should be responsible. He should be responsible. And Tosfos addresses that question. Tosfos says, "Ve'im ein b'libuya kadei l'labos, afo pisha gam beruach en kadei l'labos poter, de'lo mechay meshim isho elim kein asa kol kach b'fnei atzmai, de'loi siyua haruach." That's obvious, because then, if he himself was capable of creating the flame without the ruach, then of course he's chayev, since the ruach itself could not do it. So he created the mazik, he created the ish. O dover acher sheyuchal lahazik beruach mitzuy acher gemar meisr shalom. The hachi mashma mavis haberish lefnei atzmas haberish sheyuchal lahazik beruach mitzuy. If he brings, let's say, the coal and the wood, and after his gemar meisr, the ruach mitzuy is capable by itself of creating a fire and doing damage, so then he's chayav. But here, you have neither one. By bringing the gachlis and the wood and anticipating ruach mitzuyah, he's not responsible, because ruach mitzuyah could not create a fire. And as far as his blowing on it, he also couldn't create a fire. So therefore he's pater. This is what Tosfos says. Well, chach kan pater, the belav libo lo yisei cholo lahazik. Va'libo dahayne gemar asiyasa lo asa hamalabe b'fnei atzmai uparech hamay pater. So that's already the question of the gemar, but it's somewhat hard to understand it, because you can look at it in two ways. One way of looking at it is you can look at it and it's really being done simultaneously. There's a wind blowing on it and he's blowing on the coal, and together they create a flame. You could say the wind blowing on it prepared for him the coal, which he came and blew on it and created a flame. See, he's the one that created the flame. It happens simultaneously. The question is, how do you look upon it when it's being done simultaneously? You could look upon it and say it's as if the wind prepared a gachlis for him to come and do the culminating step to create the fire, and then he created the fire. Or you could look at it another way. You could say that he prepared that he prepared the gachlis for the wind, he prepared the gachlis for the wind, so that the wind could come and create a fire, and then he would be putter. So apparently Tosus is looking upon it, and this is the din of the Gemara. You can't move the Gemara unless we understand this din. Apparently Tosus is looking upon it, that when it's done simultaneously, we don't consider as if the wind prepared a gachlis for him to come and then do the culminating step, and he created the fire. But we rather look at the other way around, that he created a situation of a gachlis, which the wind could then come and do the final step of creating the fire. That's why he's putter. This is putter. It's the same, but it's not completely simple to understand. In other words, the question is, who created the mazik? It's true. Prior to his blowing on it, there was no responsibility for anyone because there was no mazik b'chlad. There was no, the Ruach Metzuyah could not have created a flame. There was no responsibility. The responsibility for creating the mazik starts when he starts to blow together with the wind. So the question is he be considered to creating the mazik, and the wind just prepared the situation for him to create the mazik, or no, he's not considered to have created the mazik. He prepared the situation for the Ruach to come and create the mazik. And apparently that's the way I look at it. Now I don't completely understand that either. Why? Because even if you say that he created the situation for the Ruach to come and for the Ruach to come and do the final step of creating the fire, why isn't he responsible for that? Why shouldn't he be responsible for creating a situation in the same way when he brings a gachlis and the Ruach Metzuyah can come and create a fire, he's responsible. Here, the person who brought the gachlis at that time, he had no responsibility because Ruach Metzuyah couldn't do anything. But even if you look upon it, that he was like the one, he prepared the situation for the Ruach Metzuyah. But why isn't he responsible for preparing the situation for the Ruach Metzuyah? In other words, it doesn't really... I said that, to explain it, that he's considered to preparing the situation for the Ruach Metzuyah. But I don't completely understand it, because even if he's preparing the situation for the Ruach Metzuyah, why shouldn't he be responsible for that? It's like the person who brought a gachlis. Ruach Metzuyah can come and make a flame. So he's responsible for that. He's a chiv shmirah. So if he's preparing the situation for the Ruach Metzuyah to come, and create a fire, why shouldn't he be responsible? But apparently, it's not shayach when that's done simultaneously. That's shayach if he did something and then the Ruach Metzuyah came. So he was responsible to see the Ruach Metzuyah for what he did because the Ruach Metzuyah would come. But if it's being done simultaneously, apparently you cannot say that he had a chiyuv shmirah not to do it. A chiyuv shmirah has to be for having created a mazik. When he brings the gachlis and the wood, so he created a mazik. So he was supposed to watch the mazik. But here you cannot say that prior to his blowing he had a chiyuv shmirah. Chaim says, why he didn't have a chiyuv shmirah? There was no mazik there altogether. Since there's no chiyuv shmirah, you cannot say that he had responsibility. He had responsibility to see that the wind shouldn't come and do it. It's not shayach. Since here it's simultaneous, you can say it's a chiyuv shmirah. Say a person brings a coal and wood. So he created a situation. He has a chiyuv shmirah. He's supposed to watch it that a fire should not be created. That also is a question of defining it. Did he create a mazik? Oh no, he didn't create a mazik, but he has a responsibility to see there shouldn't become a mazik. I would say, based upon what we'll see the Rishonim afterwards, I would say that since the Ruach Metzuyah can come and create a fire, so when he brought a coal and woods together, it already was considered to be a mazik. And he had a responsibility to see, to watch it, that it shouldn't go out and do damage. But here it's different, because here, prior to his blowing on it, there was no mazik, because the Ruach Metzuyah couldn't come and do anything. So you couldn't say he had a chiv shmirah not to blow. There's no such thing as a chiv shmirah not to blow. If he creates a mazik, then he has a chiv shmirah. If there's no mazik, he doesn't have a chiv shmirah. Once he blows, So we have to ask a different question. We have to ask the question, did he create a mazik or not? That's the question. So that has to do with the question that I raised. How do we look upon it when it's done simultaneously? Do we say that the wind created a situation for him to come and do the final step of creating the fire? or so then he's responsible. Then he's responsible for the nezek. Or we say no. We say no. We look at it more that he created a situation for which the wind came and created the fire. So then he doesn't have responsibility. He's not considered to have created the fire. This is what Tosis is saying. So they go over the words of Tosis again. This is very important because when you go over the Gemara of Azuruch Nesayaito, and then we'll see the Gemara of Basra, the Rishonim started talking about the whole situation of Korach Muraboy. The Korach Muraboy is involved in the Holochas Ahezek and creating the Shem Mazik. So it's very important to set up the definition straight, you know, when you begin the Sugya, because if you don't set up the definition, it's very hard to deal with what the Rishonim say afterwards. So Tosis says, V'im ein b'li buya kedei l'labois, he blew it himself and he created the ash. That's like the case, a person brings a gachlis together with itzim, and a ruach mitzuyah can create a flame. That's the previous Tosis. That's why I went over the previous Tosis. The Tosis establishes that didn't. It wasn't simple to the Tosis. There's Hashem, the Lady Shurim will go over the Tosis inside. It wasn't simple to the Tosis that didn't, because apparently Tosis had a certain half minute to say, if a person brought a coal and wood, right now it's not a fire. It's not considered to be a mazik. It's not considered a mazik. He doesn't have a chiyuv shmirah. But Tosis established it's not that way. Why? Because apparently Tosis considers that it already has a shemazik. Since a ruach mitzuyah can come and create a flame out of it, so it already has a shemazik. So that's the other case in which he's chayev. That's what Tosis says. Oy davar achas yuchul hazik mitzuyah achim rameses shol dahochi mashma hamaviz habeira shufni atzma osis habeira sheyuchul hazik ruach mitzuyah. Whatever form the beira was, even if it was just gachlis and etzim, but it's already considered to be, since a ruach mitzuyah can come and create a flame, it's already considered to be a mazik. Ulchach kan pater the belav libui loy haysa yichol lahazik vahalibui dahainu gmar asiyasa lo asa hamalabe b'fnei atzmai. This is what Tosis is saying. Okay, so let's go now to the, let's turn to the Gemara. The continuation of Tosis is about the Gemara. So the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. You have the Gemara daf Samach Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, liba v'lipsa haruach, im yesh v'libuyay, kedei l'rabbeis ha'chayav, v'im lav pater. Amai levi kazor of ruach l'sayyata. That's the important Gemara. The Gemara wants to know, why should he not be responsible also for the koyach achim rabo? What is the issue? The issue here is that he didn't create the fire, because it was done through together with the ruach, together with the wind. What is the wind? The wind was koyach achim rabo. He was involved, but there was also koyach achim rabo. So is he responsible for koyach achim rabo? So that was not. He didn't create it. It was created joint between him and the koyach achim. But Tosis says, why shouldn't we say that the koyach achim should? The Gemara is asking, the koyach achim should be mitzuruf to him. The koyach achim should be integrated into his ma'isa with the koyach achim. He's doing it together with the koyach achim. So the koyach achim should be integrated into his ma'isa. Why? Because that's the case in Zorah. Zorah, a person does winnowing, he throws the chaff up to the wind, and he throws the grain, the wind separates the chaff from the grain, and he's considered to have done a malacha. But he really didn't do the malacha, it was done by the wind. He made the grain available to the wind to separate the chaff. He made the tefillah available to the wind. But still, what the wind does is somehow attributed to him. It's mitzuruf to him. It's integrated into his ma'aseh. He's considered to have done it. So why don't we say the same thing? Libav libsa ruach. Even if ein delibuya kedei labosa, he required the wind to do it together with him. But what the wind does, should be integrated into his ma'aseh. So there are different answers. This year we're going to focus more on the answer of Rav Ashi. There are three Amoraim that say that Ein Achinami, he will be Chayev. That the Koyach Acher is integrated into the, we don't pass like those on the Amor. that the koyach acher is integrated into his maisa, and he would be chayav in the regular case of nivu lipsa ruach, but here he's not chayav because it's a special case. It's not an ordinary case. I'll just read it, but it's not. I'm not going to focus on it. Amar bai hacha ma'askinan kagon sheliba mitzad echad v'lipsa ruach mitzad acher. Rav Amar kagon sheliba beruach mitzuya v'lipsa ruach beruach she'ina mitzuya. They couldn't anticipate. Rav Zera Amar kagon tzamra tzimuri. But the important thing is to know, meanwhile, that according to these three mandamrim, ein achinami, in lipsa ruach, in an ordinary case, he will be chayav. What the wind does is integrate into his maisa, and it's considered as if he did it. Rav Ashi Amar ki aminan zoya beruach misayaita hani mili v'nin Shabbos de meleches makshevas asotera avahacha grama ba'almohu hu grama b'nizakim patur. So the question is, what Rav Ashi says is a distinction between Shabbos and nizikim. In Shabbos, the koch achim urabai is machayivim. But in the Zikin, the Koyach Acham Ruvabai is not Mechayivim. The question is, what is Rav Ashi mean? What is the basis for this distinction between Shabbos and the Zikin? So there are two possibilities. Two possibilities to explain it. And there's a Machlokes Rishonim on it. And this is the main, this line, the Gemara, this is the main point as far as Koyach Acham Ruvabai, as far as using electrical machines on Shabbos. One way of interpreting it is, That is a special halacha of meleches machshavas in Shabbos. Let's say zoyev ruach misayata. He doesn't really separate the chaff from the grain. The wind does it. But what the wind does is mitzurif to him. It's considered as if he separated the chaff from the grain. It's considered to be his maisa. But it's considered to be his maisa only as far as Shabbos is concerned, not as far as nezikin is concerned. As far as Shabbos is concerned, it's considered to be his Maisa, because Maisa in Shabbos is defined differently because of the Halacha Melechta Shabbos. The Halacha Melechta Shabbos were more concerned with the results of what he's doing, and he's able to produce the results in this way. So therefore we say that what the Koyach Acher does is mitzuruf to him. What the Koyach Acher does is considered to be his Maisa. It's considered as if he did the separation of the grain from the chaff. It's considered to be his maisa. But that principle exists only in Shabbos. It doesn't apply to any other case. It doesn't apply to any other case besides Shabbos. This is one way of interpreting it. The other way of interpreting it, it's not just a distinction between Shabbos and the Zikin. Even in Shabbos, it's not a general principle. Even in Shabbos, it's not a general principle that whenever he does something, he activates a koyach acher, so the koyach acher is mitzurif to his koyach and to his maisa. Now, even Shabbos, he don't say it. But specifically in respect to Zohar that we say it. Why specifically in respect to Zohar we say it? What do we say about Zohar?
Is that the definition of Zohar?
Yeah, so the way to explain it is, that's the definition of Zohar. But the way to define it is, that in Zohar we say, the melacha of Zohar doesn't consist of separating the chaff and the grain, but the definition of Lacha Gorim means to prepare the tvua to have the chaff separated from the grain. That's the Malach of Zorah. And the analogy for that would be let's say Mevasha or Oifa. Mevasha or Oifa. A person does Bishul. A person bakes. He doesn't actually do the baking. What does the baking? The oven is baking the bread. He doesn't bake the oven. He just prepares the dough to be baked. He just prepares the dough to be baked by the oven. So that's the definition of it. That's the definition of the lachi. That's considered to be oifel or mavasho. He prepares the food by putting on the fire to be cooked by the to be cooked by the fire. Yeah.
We have this with the issue with the air. We put it before Shabbos, and the kasha there was what's the chayim? Well, we talked about the beginning. Then you can take it out and be put out from.
Yeah, but there's a Gemara speak where you put it on. I think the Gemara speaks where you put it on in Shabbos, not before Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
on Shabbos. So if he takes it out, there's a question. It's a question with Chaschinuch. What if he puts the bread in the oven just before Shkia, the Shabbos, and the baking is called Karmu Panav Batamra, that's the baking process, that takes place after Shabbos, whether he's chayv or not. So it's a shayla. Generally, it'd be explained. The question is his avera consistent in preparing it to be baked, or because he prepared it to be baking, the baking somehow is attributed to him? Because he prepared it to be baking, so therefore it's attributed to him. So if you say it's attributed to him, so it has to be on Shabbos. But if it's not that the baking is attributed to him, his avera consists in preparing it for it to be baked.
It's the same thing here with the chaff. He prepared it before. Minute before Shabbos,
or in Mishkiah,
and then the wind did what it did.
Yeah, but I don't think that anyone would say that. Let's say he put it into the oven before Shabbos, and it got baked on Shabbos, that it would be chayav. It's only shayach when he did it on Shabbos, because still, I still think that you have to say that his melacha consists in the fact that he's preparing it to that he's. Preparing it to he's preparing it to baking. Since he prepared it to be baked, so then we on Shabbos, so then when it finally gets baked, when it's karm v'tanur, so that is attributed to him, and that's considered to be the whole melacha. But it has to be that he actually prepared it to be baked on Shabbos. If he didn't prepare it to bake on Shabbos, then he didn't do a melacha altogether. It's not, the melacha sort of begins by preparing it to be baked, and it culminates by the baking ultimately being attributed to him on Shabbos. Or you could say, no, let's say Zoreya, when a person plants a seed, there the planting doesn't take place until after Shabbos. But there, it's not attributed to him, just preparing it for it to take root and to have the Klita Zazar, that's considered the definition of Melacha. So baking could be that, in other words, the baking has to be attributed to him, but I don't think that you would say, I don't think that you could say that if he did it before Shabbos, it was baked on Shabbos, that he would be chayav.
That's the definition of the melacha zorah.
That's the definition of melacha zorah. Baking is a question. It's something in mechaschinuch. It could be that if it's baked after Shabbos, he's still chayav, because the avera consists in preparing it to be baked. But it could be no, that the melacha begins with the preparing it to be baked, but it's culminated by the fire, by the karma upon the batana, ultimately being mitzurf to him. Yeah.
I think we learn this a lot from baking, that you can make it in such a way that it can, if it's completed on Shabbos, but it would be done before Shabbos, and you can't, there's no shiur, you can't say, let's say you know that for sure that it could have been easy to drink, to eat, you know, but barely easy, you could have barely eaten it.
Machob and Jesoy.
That it's I don't know if you can say that, but I like them also, we learned that it's mutter, they're makel, only in that case.
Yeah, but those are questions of Shehiya, Drabanans and everything. I'm talking about the definition of the Melacha D'oraisa of Bishul Nafiyah.
And I've read there's a certain case to be makel. I don't know why, but we've learned this a long time ago. I'm not as familiar with that.
No, sorry, that's what I'm saying. If you put it in before Shabbos, then there's no problem. That's okay. What I'm saying. There's no problem. The melacha certainly has to require his putting it on the fire. That's the important part of melacha. The question is whether when he puts it on Shabbos, so the whole process is attributed to him when he does that. But melacha begins when he prepares it. That's when the melacha begins. I think that you have to say that. Anyway, so one way of defining zorah v'ruach mesayayitai is, it's not a general principle in Shabbos. It's not a general principle in Shabbos that if a person does something together with a koyach acher, the koyach meruvay, that the koyach acher is attributed to him. It's not a general principle in Shabbos. The Gemara says it specifically as far as zorah is concerned, that's the definition of the melacha. The definition of the melacha is not so much in his separating the chaff, But the definition of melacha is in his preparing the grain to have it, preparing the tefillah to have the chaff being separated from the grain. That's the definition of the melacha. So that applies to Zohar. It doesn't apply to it doesn't apply to anything else. I think the nafka mina is in all the machines. Let's say a person turns on a washing machine on Shabbos, his clothes, and he presses a button, the electricity starts to work, and it washes the clothes. Is he considered to have washed the clothes or not? So according to the first interpretation, because that's the case of Koach HaMeruba, what did he do? He activated the Koach HaMeruba. So is it considered on Shabbos as if he did it, and he's considered to wash the clothes? Or no, he didn't do it. It was done by the Koach HaMeruba. He just caused, he activated the Koach HaMeruba to do it. So he's a grumma. Also, grumma is asim b'jabanan, but it's not asim b'daraisa. Grumma is not asim b'daraisa. So I think it has to do with these two interpretations of Gemara, and it's a machlokes rishonim. How to interpret the Gemara? What is Rav Ashi saying when Rav Ashi Amar Kia Minan Zor Ruch Masayaito Hani Minan Shabbos the Melechus Machshavas Asatera Avahocha Grama Ba'Amu Hu Grama Benizakin Ugrama Benizakin Pater. Is he saying that this is a principle in Shabbos that doesn't apply to Mazik? The principle in Shabbos is in Shabbos because of Melechus Machshavas. Because of Melechus Machshavas, we say that if a person does something and he, in his ma'aseh, he activates a koyach acher, what the koyach acher does is attributed to him. It's considered to be his. It's considered to be his ma'aseh. In mazik, there is no such principle. So, according to that, it's the case of a washing machine or any electrical appliances that a person activates an electrical appliance. So, it's electricity that's doing it. It's the machine that's doing it, but that's attributed to him. It's considered as if he is doing it. But if you,
I think what Chaim was getting at a long time ago was in the beginning of Kira, the Machlokas about Masirin or in Masirin Mishami basically. The third Tosos in the Parak says that there's a Machlokas Rashi and Tosos, and the Bechol Nami also Lahasir. That Tosos is saying if you can't be Martiach, something so close to Shabbos, and you do a Chazorah just before Shabbos, the Maisa is really a Chazorah, it's done on whole.
Right.
But it's still
awesome. Yeah, but it's not also mitzvah melacha d'oraisa. It's also mitzvah melacha of chazar shehiyah. That's what I'm saying.
But I remember the thing which was surprised a lot of us. You take the bread out and it's.
No, that's halacha. It has to be. That's why you put a chunk on. It has to cook before. You can't just put on a raw chunk before Shabbos. But that's the definition. That has to do with the din javan. Here we're defining melacha d'oraisa. So the question is how you explain what Rav Ashi says. Rav Ashi Amar Kiyam Mizor Ruch Misayaytai Hami Neshabes Ruch Nachshavas Asatara Avahocha Grama Ba'amu Hu Grama Benizakin Hu Grama Benizakin Pater. So the second interpretation is that no, there's no general principle in Shabbos that if you activate a Koyach Acher, as far as Shabbos is concerned, what the Koyach Acher does is attributed to me. There's no such principle. Zorah is chayev. That's a special din in Zorah, because Zorah, since it's halacha meleches mashavis, we emphasize more the result. So therefore, there can be halacha even if he doesn't actually do the meleches zriya. He doesn't actually. He's only causing. That's the way to express it. He's causing the zriya to take place. He's preparing the tvua that zriya should be performed on the zriya by the ruach. Should be performed on the tvua by the ruach. So he's also responsible for that on Shabbos because of Melechus Machshavas. Because of Melechus Machshavas, we emphasize the result. So therefore, the Melech, sometimes Melech is defined that way. The Melech is not defined as his doing the Maisa, but rather his preparing the Chetza for that Maisa to be done on it. And that, and for that he's Chayav. You know, the difference in two interpretations is how you define the Melech of Zorah. Do you say that in Zorah he's Chayav because he's considered to have done the Maisa of separating the chaff from the grain? No, he's not considered the Maisa. He's considered only to be a Goyrim. But that's the definition of Malacha Zorah. The definition of Zorah, the Malacha consists in being a Grumma. In being a Grumma, that's why he's Chayav. In being a Goyrim for the chaff to separate for the grain, that's the Malacha of Zorah. But in Mazik, Grumma is Pater. This is what the Rashi says. According to the first interpretation, it's not that in Zorah he's chay for the Grumma. He's not chay for the Grumma. Grumma is Pater in Shabbos. But in Zorah we say in Zorah we say that the Malacha consists in preparing the Tvua to have the chaff separated from the grain. We say that when he activates the Ruach to separate the chaff from the grain. So what the ruach does is mitzurf to him, and it's considered as if he did the melacha. So that's a principle in Shabbos. But it applies to all melacha Shabbos in that case. So if a person does a melacha through a machine, if they wash a machine, he presses a button and the machine washes the clothes. So he's considered katan melacha b'raisa. But according to the second interpretation, there's something unique about Zorah, that there the melacha consists in preparing the grain, in causing the chaff to be separated from the grain. So that's in Zorah. In kibbutz, you don't have something. There's no such thing in kibbutz that a person's chayah for causing the begadim to be washed. He has to actually wash the clothes. He washes the clothes with his hands. It doesn't matter. It's chayav. If the machine washes the clothes, then he wouldn't be, then he wouldn't be chayav. So these are the two interpretations. So if you see Tosfos, so I have here. I put down the Tosfos. Rav Ashi Amar. Do you see that? Do you have the Tosfos? Dvar Maskir Lach. Rav Ashi Amar. Ki Amrina and Zoyra Veruach Masayaitai. Hani Mila in Shabbos. Temelechis Machshavos Asotera. וכשגורם לזרויס הרוח המסייעת, לזרויס הרוח המסייעת, אהב מלך השבת. So you see what Tosfos uses the word. So it's always גורם. Tosfos considers Zoyra as גורם. But he says, but that's the halacha, that's the definition. That's the definition of the malacha. וכשגורם לזרויס הרוח המסייעת, אהב מלכס Havi Malachas Machshavas, Ulahachi Chayav, Begrumma Zriyazu. Because it's before Tosfos keeps on emphasizing that it's Grumma. According to the first interpretation that we had, Tosfos shouldn't say it's not Grumma. It's actually, like, let's say in a washing machine. You wouldn't say, if you want to say that it's Chayav Medaraisa, washing machine, you wouldn't say he's Chayav Havin Gorim that the clothes are washed. You would say he pressed a button, he activated the electricity, and the machine washed the clothes. It's considered as if he washed the clothes. Tosfos keeps on emphasizing over here. Tosfos, he's very outspoken about it. He's very blunt about it. He keeps on repeating the words. Ukshe Gorim Lizrois, a Ruch Messiahite, Havim Lechas Machshavas, or Lahachi Chayav. Vigrama Zriya Zu. But he's not considered to have done the Maisa Zriya B'fnei Atzmai. He's considered to have caused the Zriya. He's not considered to have done the Maisa Zriya. That's Beferish, like the second interpretation. L'chach hachi lo mikri mavir el gorim. And in Mazik, the halacha is that gorim is butter. V'atora lo chiva el mavir v'lo agorim. Now the question that comes up with the machon with technology, what one machon developed was, they claim that if you create a machine and after you press the button, it takes time for the machine to start to work. So that's considered grammar. They say, if the machine starts working right away, then it's not considered grammar. If the machine doesn't start to work right away, it takes a few seconds, takes a minute, for the machine to be activated, for the machine to start washing, then that's considered grammar. Why? Because it's more in Shabbos, it says, if there's a fire, so what a person can do is he can put up kademayim, at a distance from the fire, so when the fire will reach the kademayim, it will break the kadem, and then the fire will be extinguished. And the Gemara says that's grama, and grama is only asum jabanan. So because of seda, the chachamim were matir grama. So they said that what makes something grama is the fact that after he finishes action, the maisa doesn't happen right away. So the same question. What's the problem with thermostats?
You put a little boy into it, and then you open it again. You open the fifteen times, and finally the thermostat
moves on. Yeah, but there you can say each time it's not a psikresha. It's a doshem mischaven. You can say it's not a psikresha. I know we have to examine this with the fridge. Hashem will examine it. I know today everyone's machmer. As far as I know, that Reb Simcha Zelik, he was a dying of risk. My grandfather asked him to write a tshuva about using a refrigerator, and he wrote a tshuva. It was printed in the Pardes
and they wrote it's mutter to use the refrigerator. So I use the refrigerator. I mean, if Psychozalik Paskas, the Dinah Brisk, Abraham took him to be the Dinah Brisk, and he wrote a tshuva saying it's mutter to use the refrigerator, and he said that it's a dovah shem mischav, and you have to examine the issue of psychration. Yeah.
Some freezers now, some freezers, a fan goes on a few seconds later, regardless.
So then the question is he interested in the fan going on in those few seconds? So if the psychration is the psychration, the nichalei psychration, the loichbislei, is he interested? I have a big freezer and I paid attention a lot to the freezer, it doesn't always go on. And also to me, it doesn't make such a big difference when it's on, when I open it up or not, it doesn't, it's not such a big thing. Okay, I don't know, there are issues to discuss. I'm just saying it's a fact that Reb Sofer Zelig was matter, so as a shambul.
I'm saying that the freezer is close to the refrigerator. The
refrigerator
works in the furnace fan. Right. The freezer,
sometimes,
I don't know, I
don't
see people always open the freezer. Sometimes
when
you open the freezer,
you'll
notice a few seconds later the fan goes on.
I have a big freezer and I'm not a big freezer. I don't see any fan. I know that sometimes the motor goes on, sometimes it doesn't go on. It depends. But that's a separate issue. That's an issue more of. Here we're talking about grammar. This is an issue of this is a question of grammar. The question is, that's a question of the of an electric clock. Let's say the light is supposed to go on at 12 o'clock in the morning, at 12 o'clock noon, and they said he changes the clock that will go on at 10 o'clock and will go on earlier. The question is, I consider melacha d'oraisa. It's the same question. In other words, what he does, he's causing something to turn on the light. He's causing some electrical apparatus to turn on the light, but it's not happening right away. So that's why those that were matter. So that's the big question today. That's the big controversy.
Bring in the problem of muktzah.
Yeah, they talk about muktzah. They talk about a lot of problems. See, the other question, the muktzah comes up in the question where, let's say, he doesn't move the clock forward. He moves it. He doesn't move it backward. Did it go on earlier? He moves the clock that should go on later. So that many people are matter that. Rosh Hashanah Arbach is matter it. As long as you're not, it's not a question like pushing the two buttons. The one that makes it not go, you have to take a peg out and you have to put another peg in. Then it's also, because then you're really causing it to go on. But you just move the clock. That instead of going on at 12 noon, it'll go on 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So Rosh Hashanah Arbach is matter. And some answer it. My uncle once said in the shir that he thinks it's mutter, but he says he thinks it's a problem of muktzah. He says it's a problem of muktzah, and a lot of people are machmer. They say it could be a problem of mesakin mana. Some say the Chazon Ish said it's a problem of mesakin mana, but that a lot of people do, and a lot of people were matter that. But to move it, that you go on earlier, that very few people were matter it. They say that the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus said one edition said that it's mutter. And then there was a big outcry against it, and he had to take it out. But the question is, what's the basis of saying? That's what I want to explain. The basis for the saying is, it's because of the Gemara here that if you interpret the Gemara that it's not something unique about the Malacha of Zohar, that Zohar is defined as a Malacha as preparing it to have the chaff separated from the grain, preparing the tvua for the chaff to be separated from separated from the grain, but rather it's a general principle of Shabbos. So any melacha that he does, if he together with his performance, a koach acher coordinates with him, participates with him doing the melacha, so the koach acher, which was safoy that it would take place, the koach acher. Is mature to him. It's considered that he's doing it. So it's not that he's chayav for the grammar. He's not chayav for the grammar. He's chayav for actually doing the malacha. So he said in a washing machine, it would be considered as if he washed the clothes. So most probably, even if the washing machine doesn't go on right away, let's say there's a special mechanism that it takes 2 minutes for the washing machine to start. So it's the same thing as the Shabbos clock. That my uncle said, my uncle is the one that gave the most clear articulation of this thing. Even though many rabbanim said that it's also, in fact, I heard that a few months ago there were announcements in the Yasa Neman against this whole idea of grammar, of machines, of having an interval and to stop saying, because if you do that, they said, you know, soon people will be able to drive cars on Shabbos. You know, and one, they'll say, Sana Malacha Daraisa, because they'll say, everything that you do, it will, they'll make a certain interval, that everything will be permitted. But the question is, why isn't it permitted? If I understand what my uncle said correctly, I think my uncle said that it's totally in a machlokes rishonim, that it's not pasha, it's totally in a machlokes rishonim, and it's a principle in Shabbos that if you cause a certain force, a certain koyach acher to do a malacha, it's considered as in Shabbos, it's considered as if you did the malacha. So my uncle said, even if the malacha doesn't start right away, but as long as there's a force already in motion that ultimately will do the malacha, then it's attributed to you. When is it considered to be grammar? It's considered to be grammar only when, in the case as he puts up the kadim of mayim, the barrels of water, puts up the barrels of water, so there, he's not setting any force into motion. He just sets up the barrels. He sets up the barrels. The fire will eventually come and break the barrels, and then the water from the barrels will extinguish the fire. So in that case, in that case, it's considered grammar because he doesn't activate any force. But say in the case of the Shabbos clock, so he activates the certain clock. Something is activated right away. You know, maybe the light isn't turned on, but something is moving. Something is ticking. So, and he's the one that activated it. So whatever is done is attributed to him. It's considered as if he is doing it. But what I want to explain is that I think that what my uncle said is different from what all the other rabbanim say, and I think also that some people are not quoting my uncle correctly. I think so. You know, maybe they know better than I do. But it seems to me that my uncle didn't say what they're saying. Someone said, I didn't see it inside, but I heard someone say that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva in the Mincha Shlomoy, that he discusses the case of the electric clock, and he says he sees reason to think that it's usur. And he gives an example. He says, what would be if a person, let's say, has a barrel of water, there's a fire beneath a slope, and a person, and so let's say it's a very extensive slope, and the person rolls a barrel of water down the slope, and it takes, let's say, 5 minutes for the barrel to reach the bottom of the slope. But once the bottom slope, the barrel will break, and the water will extinguish the fire. So he says, wouldn't that be considered to be a ma'aseh to be a dayan? He thinks it's a very serious question, even though it takes time for it to happen. I think that's true, but I think that's different because in that case, when he pushes it down the slope, so he's considered to, that's considered to be his ma'aseh. I don't consider that a koich. The whole question is with a koich achamurubai. This is not, I don't consider that a koich achamurubai. It's not a koich achamurubai. That means that he sent the water down to the water to the fire. It took time for the water to reach the fire. But that's his ma'aseh. And I don't think that even involves the question of grammar. I think that would be considered his ma'aseh, not just in Shabbos. That would be considered his ma'aseh. In Kol HaTorah Kula, that would be considered to be his. Kol HaTorah could be his ma'aseh. Let's say they quote the Chazon Ish extensively about the. Chazon Ish doesn't talk so much about the electronic, he talks about other issues. But we'll see, he talks about Isham Shem Chitav. I think they're arguing that is considered to be his ma'aseh in Kol HaTorah Kula. And I don't think that's what my uncle said. My uncle said that if he sets a certain force in motion, dafka in Shabbos, because of malachas machsheves, so we say that force is attributed to him. But any place else, let's say kol haTorah kula, the question comes: he activates a certain force, and the question is whether. The question is whether it's considered to be his ma'aseh. It's not considered to be his ma'aseh. I would say that if there is a certain hefsek of time until it's done, I would say in Kol HaTorah Kula it's not considered to be. I would say it's not considered to be his ma'aseh. And I'll give an example. Let's say there's a halacha in Rambam: a nazir is not allowed to cut his hair. So let's say yes, a nazir applies acid to his hair, and his hair gets uprooted because of the sam. So the Rambam says he's not chayiv malchus. So why is he not chayav malchus? So my grandfather said, or Rav Chaim said, the reason is because it's considered to be a grama. Because he didn't do it, the son did it. But the reason why it's considered a grama is because it doesn't happen right away. If it would happen right away, then I would compare the Sam to the Ramban that we had, to the case where he's chorish with the shor, he holds the yoke. It's considered, this could be, the Sam would be considered to be his instrument. It's like a person uses an electric shaver. Uses an electric shaver to, say, if it's a razor, a shaver that's a razor, it's electricity. You don't say that it's not considered his mindset, it's electricity. No one would say that, because since it happens right away, so I would say that's like the case of the shor that the Ramban says. It's just an extension of his hand. This is the utensil that he's this is the utensil that that is using. The same thing with the sum, yeah.
What you're saying is that machshava means that would include the late actions, because that's his machshava. That's the
right. Because we're concerned with the results, and therefore we define the malachim. Therefore, there the halacha is that also koyach acher can be attributed to him, even if it's delayed. Right, because he activated the force and he was interested in the result, and the result is being produced. So what's done by the koyach acher is attributed to him. But it's dafkan Shabbos, it's not koyach terukul. I'll give an example. So let's say they raise the question against my uncle. This is my uncle's talmidim raise the question against my uncle, because the Gemara in Shabbos says that a person has Shem Shamayim written on his flesh. And he goes into a mikveh. So the water erases the Shem Shamayim. So Gemara says that it's only grama. He's not considered to have done it be a dayim. But they say, but why? They say, but it's being activated right away. Right away, the water starts to work on the Shem Shamayim to erase it. It takes time for it to be erased. So that's the question. They give all sorts of answers. But I don't think there's any question against what my uncle said. Because my uncle said, only as far as Shabbos is concerned, not as far as Kol HaTorah is concerned. The case of Sam is an example. In the case of Sam, the Sam begins to work right away, but still the Rambam says it's grammar, it's not Chayav Malchus. The Rambam says it's not Chayav Malchus. My grandfather said the reason is because it's grammar. It's only in Shabbos that's why, because of the Gemara here, because of Menachas Machshavas. So once we understand that, so all the questions that came out against my uncle fall away. What I want to do in this room is to go into the Sugi and Sanhedrin and the Tosis, because you know they argue, they quote the Chazon Ish, and they argue that because what the Chazon Ish said in the Sugi and Bava Kamma, the Sugi and Sanhedrin, that it would be considered to be his Maisa Kora Terakula, and the Saita Halach of Isham Shem Chitzos. That's why I want to go into the Sugi and Sanhedrin, Tosis and Sanhedrin, and see if we could define all of the halachas to see where it's not that way. They claim that what the Chazon Ish says the same thing that Rav Chaim said. But I don't think that is the case. That's why I want to.
I'll tell you what he might say, that I told your uncle, which is called Roth. Many years ago, there was a student at MIT from India. He used to come to us for Shabbos. And he had a car, you know, the Chavshi Chavshi here. Now you can't use it on Shabbos anyway, because you have to put it in, the lights up. But before they changed the system, all you had to do was show it. And he said the
pass,
pass, yeah, that if you went to a bus stop and you just and the bus didn't stop for you, it was stopping because there were other people there, you could get on and ride, because all you had to do was show the pass.
Alright, okay, saying he's not doing a malacha.
No.
Yeah, my father also said that. My father said that driving the car is the driving anyway.
Yeah.
So you're not doing anything. Okay, yeah, some people say that it's not true. I don't know.
Some people say you can do that. You can get in and take the ride.
Yeah, but I think my father would still say that it's an ozim lechov. It's usher to do it. Even riding a bicycle, my father said it's usher. My father was very strong about it. There was one rav that said it's mutter to ride a bicycle on Yom Tov. My father said that Rabbi Chaim Oizer Paskin, he heard from someone who was very close from the Rabbi Chaim Oizer in Vilna. He was that person was the Mashkiya. Who is it? His son lives in Bnei Brak. I forgot the name. The nephews of the Chazon Ish. There was a brother of the Chazon Ish. He was the Mashkiya. What's his name? Greenerman. He was the Mashkiya in Moshe Feinstein's Shiva, Tversu Shalayim. My father gave a Shim, Tversu Shalayim. His Greenerman told me, his closest to Chaim Oizer, that to ride a bicycle on Yantif is considered to be. is considered to be. So that's what I want to show, but we have to go through.
A
from
Chicago.
What?
It was a masmid from Chicago.
That was said it's Mutter.
Yeah, I remember.
So you lived in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you from Chicago. You went to the academy at first.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway. I'm supposed to stop now. I have a lot more to say, but I'm saying it's a difficult sugya. We'll go through it slowly. But the definitions, what I'm saying at the beginning, are very important because you'll see Tosfos, you see the sugya of Basra, Tosfos and the Rabbeinu Aharon Halevi, of course, Rabbeinu Aharon Halevi. I'll add more makaris, I didn't put in the Rabbeinu. They speak on sugya about Koyach HaMeruvoi is in three situations. Koyach HaMeruvoi could be in Mazik, is in the Hilachas HaMazik. Then you have a Koyach HaMeruvoi in the Asiyas HaMazik. And then you have a Koyach HaMeruvoi in the Maisa Hezek. So that's why when you speak about Koyach HaMeruvoi in creating the Mazik, it's very important to know when, who created the Shem Mazik. That's why I went through these definitions at the beginning. Koyach Achem Urava. You know, he's talking about that he does something, but it was in coordination with another Koyach. So. My uncle was very opposed to the idea of Groma. He very much did not approve of the Groma machines, like the electric clock. And he, anytime he went through the signature, he always said that this is a problem, what they're trying to create these things. He doesn't think that it's correct.
When you deal with it on Shabbat, or even before Shabbat?
No, before Shabbat it's all right. On Shabbat, you do something, let's say, you change the electric clock. Yeah, but I'm honest, they consider it, many people follow my uncle, they consider it, they quote him, and they quote the Gemara, and the Gemara B'Vakama says it's a din only in Shabbat. That's what the Gemara says. And then they bring in the Chazanish and they start saying it's halacha according to Kol. And so what did Rav Yashiv say? Rav Yashiv said, it's all quoted, I mean, they didn't write it. They say he compares moving the electric clock to the case of the shore, to plowing with the shore. And I think from my uncle, I don't know if it's a correct analogy, because the plowing with the shore, maybe you can consider that to be Maisa Kol Tarakula. Because that's what Raman says, it's considered to be like a Kli in the Biyara Umid. This is the instrument he's using. His complete control of the shore has no choice but to plow. But the case of electric clock, he does it. You can't consider it something in his hand. He activates it. So my uncle says it's considered as Maisa, but it's only considered as Maisa, only in Shabbos, because of Menachem Shabbos Torah. So it comes down. So whatever they're saying, my uncle is not saying the same thing he said, but it's deceiving because when they speak about it, they also mix in ideas, Melech Machshavas, but they're not saying only Melech Machshavas. They're also saying that it's in Kol HaTorah Kula that way. That's what it seems to me. But we'll go into a deeper discussion.